Jesus' friend Lazarus has died. Jesus goes to see Lazarus' sisters, Martha and Mary. This is from the Gospel of John, chapter 11. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?"
Loss of one kind or another comes to all of us during our lives. Sometimes we know it's coming, and to some extent we can grieve beforehand. Other times we don't see it coming, and we have no time to prepare. And we will all suffer loss, whether it is the loss of a loved one who's died, as in our Bible story where Lazarus, Mary and Martha's brother, has just died. Or, and this happens rather more often during our lives, the loss of something else that was really dear to us, that was precious, that was important. Maybe a home or school where we've gone to, and then we've moved away. A close friend who moves away from us. A devoted pet that dies. A job where we're suddenly made redundant. A club that was part of the social fabric of our life that then just closes. And we're left bereft. Our emotional reaction to loss is what we call grief. And we all process grief in different ways. A few years ago, my wife and I joined our youngest daughter and her husband as they went house hunting in Sutton. And one property we visited with them had obviously been repossessed. Presumably the previous owner had failed to keep up their mortgage payments. But before vacating the house, the owner, clearly feeling a real sense of anger at their loss of their home, had taken out that anger by trashing the house. Everything that they had invested in this house, they thought, well, the mortgage company has no right to that, so I'll just smash it. The bath, the toilet, the new cooker. You know, it was such a sad sight. But it was sadder because of what it represented, that this person had grieved over the loss of their home. Anger is one response to loss that, though it may be not as extreme, hopefully, can be part of any journey through grief. There is no right and wrong way to journey with grief. It's a personal journey, and each of us will take a different path through it. Now, obviously, I wouldn't recommend venting your anger on people or property. Whatever kind of loss we face, grief is never a welcome companion. You know, the pain of separation, the longing for things still to be as they once were. It's a journey that some of us mercifully may feel we've neared the end now. There's still sadness, but your life now accommodates the new reality of your loss. But for others of us, we may be much closer to the start of the journey, or maybe in the middle of it somewhere, and we feel lost, thinking, will I ever get through this? Will I ever get through? So where do we turn to for help? Well, in that psalm that we all read together, the psalmist said, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Where does your help come from? This journey is best not travelled alone. And the psalmist turns to God to walk alongside and to bring comfort in his grief. And in the gospel reading that is there in the order of service that Catherine just read for us, Jesus does just that for Martha and Mary, walking alongside. Martha and Mary, though they are sisters, they're not peas out of the same pod. We read about them elsewhere in the Gospels, and they are quite different characters, one from the other. Mary was the one who loved to sit at Jesus' feet just to listen and to soak in his presence. She was the reflective, relational one, if you like. Martha was the one who felt that with guests in the house, there's work to be done. The meal had to be prepared. The tea and the coffee had to be kept flowing. The table needed laying. She was the organized, methodical one. And it was Martha that heard first that Jesus was on his way. And she goes out to meet him and she says, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus comforts her by reassuring her of the resurrection of the dead. Lazarus would rise again. Death isn't the ultimate end in life. Death is a crossing over from this life to a new resurrection life. You know, a very natural question that children tend to voice when a relative dies is, so where is Grandma now? Her physical body has stopped working, but her spirit lives on in another new resurrection body, in another place. And Jesus reassures us all when he says, whoever lives and believes in me will never die. How can that be when we see death? But like a caterpillar that seems to die, but actually emerges into a new life in a new body as a butterfly or moth. So our bodies will all die, but that is just the start of a new life in a new heaven and a new earth. When Mary later comes to see Jesus, she says exactly the same thing, word for word, as her sister said. She says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." It was a shared thought. Maybe they'd voiced that to one another beforehand. But I think that it was probably said in a totally different way. Martha was saying, "Oh, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." She wanted to talk things out. She needed to talk things out. Her practical mind as well is racing of things that need to be done, even things that Jesus could be doing. Mary used exactly the same words, but her emotion, I think, was more one of an overflowing of inner woundedness. "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." If Jesus had tried giving her a comforting hug, I think she would have beaten with her arms against his breast. She was in anguish. She didn't need to talk things out at all. She needed to let her emotions out. She didn't need comforting words. She wanted to let the world know that she was hurting on the inside. Jesus doesn't try to say that one way is right and the other way is wrong. He responds to both of them, because both of them are right for them in how they are expressing their grief. So he responds to them in different ways. He engages with Martha in comforting dialogue. But with Mary, he expresses his own emotional response. He shares his own pain. It says he was deeply moved and troubled. He wept, goes on to say he was once more deeply troubled. "My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth," so said the psalmist. And here we see Jesus the Lord, the Son of God, bringing help as appropriate to each woman. The women said the same things, but Jesus responds in different ways to meet their individual needs. God treats us as individuals and appreciates our journey through grief will be different. And one thing, as we walk through grief, as we walk that journey, the journey itself reminds us of our own mortality. The day will come when we will be the ones crossing over. And Jesus tells us, "Whoever believes in me, even though they die, even though they die, will live." And then he asks Mary a very direct question. He says, "Do you believe this?" We'll be finishing this part of our service later on with the well-known hymn, "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah." And that hymn finishes, "When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. Death of death and hell's destruction, land me safe on Canaan's side." It's using the imagery of the promised land and entering the promised land across the River Jordan. But it's using that imagery to speak of our new life beyond death. It's a positive future that all who trust in Jesus' words can look forward to. So no wonder Jesus says, "Do you believe it?" Jesus himself says, do you believe my words? Do you trust me? I have a future for you beyond death. So wherever you are this morning on your grief journey, God wants to draw alongside and bring you comfort. In the Gospels, we see him doing that in Jesus. Today, we see it as he brings his comfort through the love and care of our family, neighbours, friends, and especially through the compassion that he brings to his people to share with one another. In a moment, we'll have the opportunity to light a candle and to hear our loved ones' names read out. And let's use this time to take another step on our personal journey, knowing that God is there, walking alongside wherever we are on that journey. Knowing however we're taking that journey, whatever path we're following, it's okay. He's there at our side. Let's have a moment of stillness in prayer.